Joshua 24, 15. Joshua has led Israel into the promised land as God pointed him. He has been successful by God's help in vanquishing the foes and taking the land and dividing it between the tribes. However, as Joshua makes his closing comments before he goes to be with the Lord in Joshua 24, he is concerned that despite their successes and despite the conquest of the land and God's miraculous help in doing so, that there are still many among his people that are divided in their heart, in their loyalties, that they have not clearly chosen who they will serve, who they will trust. In Joshua 24:15, he says this, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to know you. And Lord, for what you did for us on the cross. The punishment that was ours, that you carried and took upon yourself for our sin there, that we through faith in you might receive forgiveness and the gift of everlasting, eternal life. Lord, thank you that we serve a risen Savior who is our advocate in heaven for all those who come to you by faith. Lord, we thank you that one day you will come again and receive us unto yourself, that where you are, there we may be also. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray, Lord, if there be one here today that's yet to trust you as Lord and Savior of their life, that today would be their day of salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So we've been going through a series on Sunday mornings the last few weeks on what do Baptists believe. And as I pointed out a week or two ago, unfortunately, not all Baptists believe what Baptists should believe. And not all Baptists are Christians. The important thing is that you are a Christian, not that you have the title Baptist. And so we spent the last 3 weeks in our series on what is a Baptist on Jesus Christ, because it's all about Jesus Christ. Christianity is not just about a list of rules or laws. It's not a formula prayer that you pray or a ritual that you do. It's about whether you have a personal relationship with God through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. We're going to continue to talk about that in our message this morning. As it regards this verse in 24:15 of Joshua concerning choices we make all the time. We make choices as to what we eat. We make choices as to what we wear. We make choices as to who we marry, what job to take, what career to pursue, what church to attend, what ministry to participate in, what services to go to. Be good if you just came to all of them. What to do with my time. Which phone to buy. We have a lot of choices in phones today. Cars or TVs or whatever it is. Where to go to school. Most importantly, who to put your faith in. We make a lot of choices in life, some of them rather insignificant, some of them vitally important, and one in particular, eternal. We make choices. We have been created as beings who love to have the freedom to make choices for ourselves. I think that's one of the ways we are created in the image of who? The image of God. God created us with the capacity and the desire to make choices for ourselves. Thus, our disdain for slavery, for servitude, and dictatorships. We want to have the opportunity to choose for ourselves. And God has given us the privilege of making many choices within the course of His will and plan for ourselves. But like Adam and Eve, we also bear the consequences of those actions and of those choices, whether they be temporal or whether they be eternal. Temporal consequences, like if as a child you disobey your parents, you might find yourself sitting in the corner, or in my case, you might find yourself with a sore rear end. If you get caught speeding down the road, you might end up having to pay a what? A ticket or a fine. If you steal your neighbor's car, rob a bank, guess what? You might just end up where? In jail. Temporal consequences. However, if you reject the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and His offer of salvation from sin, you will end up in a place called the lake of fire, an eternal consequence. For the wages of sin is what? Is death. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And those whose names are not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire, a very real and eternal place, where those who have rejected God's Son will spend eternity separated from Him. Choices. Choices. You see, you have choices, but are accountable to God and others for them. So you better be careful what choices you make. Praise the Lord, He has given us choices. We're not computers, we're not robots, we're not puppets on a string. But we are accountable for the choices that we make. And since it is your decision to make, and no one can make it for you, particularly as it regards to Jesus Christ, you must choose. You can be forced to make some decisions. What you do with Jesus, only you can decide. You cannot remain neutral. You must choose one or the other. That's what this verse is about right here in Joshua 24:15. Joshua says you can't remain neutral. You can't ride the fence. You must choose. Will you choose God, Jehovah, the true and living God, the God of Israel, the eternal God, as your God, who delivered you out of Egypt, who fed you in the wilderness, who conquered the land? Or will you choose the gods of Egypt that you left, or the gods of the Canaanites and Amorites in whose land you dwell? But you cannot have both. You must walk. You must choose. It's what we call individual soul liberty. That means you get to choose. You get to choose. You have to choose. Nobody can choose for you. Only you can choose. And you must. Here we see in Joshua 24:15, Israel at a crossroads. And unable to choose both, Joshua says, you must choose one. He says, for me and my house, we will serve who? We will serve the Lord. But I cannot choose for you. You must choose yourself. Only Jesus or everything else? Only the true and living God or false ones? Choose you this day, Joshua says, whom you will serve. Told by some missionaries who over in parts of the Orient that in some part of some of their religions they have something called a God shelf or like a shrine, and they have all their little images of their gods or of their ancestors that they worship on their display there. And sometimes when they're introduced to Jesus Christ, their initial response is, okay, well, where is he so I can add him to my what? So I can add him to my God shelf. So I can, you know, okay, well, I have this God and that God, worship this ancestor and that ancestor, I pray to them. So where's, what can I put on my God shelf so I can add Jesus? Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Jesus is the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'll come back to that verse again in just a few minutes. You can't simply add Jesus. You must, there's this word in the Bible called repent. You must turn from the gods of this world. You must turn from your striving after sin to strive and to trust and put your faith in who? In Jesus Christ. God's way, not our way. Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way is to reject the other gods and other ways that man has made to try to get to heaven or to try to bring fulfillment into his life and trust instead the one who came and died on the cross for our sins, Jesus Christ. And so we see choices that people made all throughout Scripture. Again, Adam and Eve in the garden, they were given a what? Choice. You can trust in who? God. And you can obey and not eat the fruit off the tree. Or you can choose not to trust in God and allow yourself to be tempted and drawn away and sin. But sin has what? Consequences. They and all of those who follow after them became sinners by birth. They were cast out of the what? They were cast out of the Garden of Eden. They were separated from God because of their sin. Choices have consequences, but it is our choice to make. Abraham and Noah were given choices. God came to them, Abraham, and said, "Follow me. I will take you to a land that you don't know." Abraham was likely raised in a pagan society. He had a choice to make. Would he put his trust in the true and living God or in the idols of the society in the day in which he lived? He made the right one. Noah, God came to Noah. The Bible says that the thoughts of man were only evil continually. The whole world had turned their back on God. There's one man, Noah, that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Not because he was a perfect man, because he was certainly not. When God spoke, he did what? He listened, put his faith in God, and he chose to trust the Lord, and he chose to build that ark to the saving of himself and his household, and consequently, all of us. We've been studying in Sunday school about Ruth. We read Ruth 1, 16, and 17 every Sunday school morning. We'll just look at verse 16 today. Ruth was a Moabite. She grew up in another pagan culture. She had a choice to make to go with Naomi and to trust in the God of Israel or to stay in the land of Moab. And she said unto Naomi, her mother-in-law, "Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people." And what? Thy God, my God. She chose the true and living God, the God of Israel. And she left with Naomi. Rahab, when the spies came to the city of Jericho, Rahab had to make a what? choice whether to hide the spies and trust in the God of Israel to protect her or to reveal their location. She instead chose to trust in the God of Israel. You know, God told Joshua and the Israelites when they went into Canaan, they were to kill or run out how many of them? Every last one of them. But God made an exception for who? For Rahab. Why? Because of her what? Because of her faith. Faith. It's all about faith. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about the grace of God and faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And so Rahab was rescued, and Ruth is in the line of Jesus Christ. Nicodemus, in John 3, Jesus said, "You must be born again. You must believe in Jesus to have everlasting life." It would seem that eventually Nicodemus made the right decision, for he was one of two to take Jesus' body down off the cross and bury it. Judas was given a choice, and he made the what? He made the wrong choice. But you say the Bible says Satan entered into him. Yes, he did. But after Judas had already made the what? The wrong choice. You cannot say the devil made me do it. The Bible says we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. We can't lay all that on the devil. We bear the responsibility of our own choices, as Judas did his. Peter, James, and John were given choices. They chose to follow Christ. Praise God for His grace and mercy, because not all of these made the right choice to begin with. But God is the God of a second chance. But there will come an end to that chance one day and that opportunity. Praise the Lord, Paul lived to see the day when on the road to Damascus, God revealed Himself to Paul, and then Paul decided to make the what? The right choice. "Lord, what will Thou have me to do?" Paul had been doing what Paul wanted to do. Paul had been doing what he had convinced himself was the right thing to do, but it was the wrong thing. That may be you today. There are many people walking around, particularly sitting in churches, that believe that they've convinced themselves that they're going to get to heaven because they put money in the offering plate. Or they're going to get to heaven because somebody dunked them in a baptismal or sprinkled them as a kid. Or that they're going to get to heaven because they come to church once a week. No. There's only one way. Through faith in Jesus Christ. You must what? You must be born again. You must choose. Paul chose Jesus. Herod Agrippa chose differently. Herod Agrippa II stood before Paul in Caesarea and heard his testimony, and he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Oh, how sad that one word, almost. Almost. Almost is not what? It's not enough. Almost is not enough. You must choose whether to trust in religion, to trust in self-righteousness, to trust in false gods, to trust in good works, or to trust in who? Or to trust in Jesus Christ. No one is born a Christian. Psalm 51:5, "Behold," David says, "I was shapen in iniquity, in sin did my mother conceive me." We are not born righteous. We are not born Christians. We are born what? Sinners. Romans 5:12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Guess what? That's me. Guess what? That's you. That's our neighbors. That's our friends. That's our relatives. We are all born sinners. None of us are born Christians. When somebody says to me, well, I've always been a Christian. Red flag. Always been a Christian. No, you haven't. We're born sinners. We're born on the Broadway that leads where? To destruction and death. We must choose to get off the Broadway, to put our faith in Jesus Christ, who is the only way of salvation. We are born sinners, not Christians. Doesn't matter how many of your parents are Christians or how many generations it goes back. Every person is born a sinner who needs a Savior. And no one can save you but Jesus. No one can confirm you a Christian. No one can absolve you of all your sins but who? Jesus. No church, no priest, no pastor, only Jesus. John 14:6, I quoted earlier, Jesus saying to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He says furthermore, I think it's Mark 10:45, that there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's only one way, only one mediator. I am not your mediator. The church is not your mediator. Waters of baptism are not your mediator. Only Jesus Christ, if you will accept him and receive him by faith. If you will choose Jesus, if you will embrace him as the Lord and Savior of life, to forgive you of your sins, to rescue you from sin and hell, then he will. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But only Jesus can do that for you. No priest can do that. Sometimes when I'm talking to kids, I have to make sure. Now you understand. I can't save you. Only Jesus can save you. You're not talking to me. You're talking to who? You're talking to Christ. Because every now and then you'll hear a kid say, well, you know, so-and-so saved me. No. No, only God can save us. No one can be coerced into believing, only forced into acting or behaving in such a particular manner. But believing is a matter of the heart. It's a choice. You lived in a certain countries under certain governments. You can be forced into attending certain services, into going certain places, into following certain rituals. But they cannot force you to truly what? Believe. Whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing. That is a choice of the heart. We must choose from our own heart. It's not enough just to fall in line. It's not enough just to follow the rules, to go through the motions. You must choose yourself. Acts 8:37. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is the Ethiopian eunuch that God sent Philip down to talk to in the middle of nowhere in the desert. Philip didn't even know who he was going to talk to in the middle of nowhere, but God knew who he was going to talk to. God sent him there. He found the eunuch reading from the book of Isaiah in chapter 53 about the suffering servant Jesus Christ who was bruised for our iniquities, who suffered on the cross for our sins. And he asked Philip, he said, who is Isaiah talking about? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about someone else? And Philip said, oh, I know who he was talking about. Let me introduce you to Jesus Christ. And as they came to some water in the desert, the eunuch looked at him and say, what doth keep me from being saved, from being baptized? And this is when Philip said to him, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. You see, it's not enough just to get wet. It's not enough just to get baptized. It's not enough to go through the motions. Philip said, well, wait a second. Do you what? Do you believe? and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then, having professed his faith, having been saved by the grace of God, then Philip said, okay, let's baptize you. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Purely says here, God says, thou shalt be saved. You can be saved today if you will believe. If you will put your faith in Christ. If you will receive him as your Lord, then he will save you. But you must believe in your heart. It's not enough just to... I had a teenager when I was a youth pastor, and he came to church for a couple years, and he said he was a Christian, and he sat through many services where the gospel was being preached. And he got to camp, and he realized in a camp service, he realized finally that he was not saved. Well, why did he think he was saved in the first place? Well, this is why he thought he was saved in the first place. Somebody brought him a tract. And somebody opened the tract and says, do you want to go to heaven or hell? Well, what would you answer? I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. So he flipped to the back and he said, pray this prayer and you'll be saved. So he prayed the prayer. But he didn't know who. He didn't know Jesus. He just said the words. He was trusting in the words of a prayer written on a tract. And he didn't know the Savior. And praise the Lord, God opened his heart and opened his mind to see that just reading a prayer was not enough. He had to choose for himself. He had to choose Jesus to be his Lord and Savior. And then calling upon the name of the Lord, he would be saved. But you must choose. It must be your decision. It must be your conviction. Not the conviction of your parents or your friends, your school or your church. I was a youth pastor for 12 years and been a pastor here for over 14 now. Particularly as a youth pastor, I had a fairly large youth group, had a lot of teens that graduated. They went off to college or didn't, went right in the workforce, whatever the case may be. But for those particularly that went off to college, some of them stayed true to the faith. Some of them were strengthened in a good Christian college. Some of them, their faith was sustained in a school I would not have encouraged them to go to. But some of them went astray. Some of them abandoned the church. Some of them abandoned the faith. Why? Because I think in many cases it wasn't their faith. It was the faith of their parents. It was the faith of their school. It was the faith of their church. But they had never made it whose faith? Their own faith. And when they got away from home, when they got out into the world, it became revealed. It has to be your faith. You can't ride on the coattails of the faith of others. This is why we as Baptists oppose a state church. England, for years, had a state church, the Church of England. You had to become a member of the Church of England if you wanted to participate and involve yourself in any kind of authority position in England. You had to join the state church. But joining the state church, did that make you a Christian? No. We oppose religious persecution, such as the Catholic Church did during the Spanish Inquisition. You can't torture people into becoming Christians. And sad to say, the doctrine of the Catholic Church wasn't teaching anybody to become a Christian. That time, far from it. And in most cases, still the same today. You cannot force people to become Christians. Muslims of the world, they take over nations, they force people to declare their faith in Muhammad. That's not how Christianity works. can't force people. They must choose. They must choose, and in order to choose Christ, they must have the opportunity to what? Refuse Christ. Only they can decide. Salvation is between you and God and dependent on no other. Doesn't require a priest, a preacher, or a grandmother, a service or a formal invitation, prepared prayer, or a rite or a ritual. It's all about putting your faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of whatever else you may be putting your faith in, turning to Him to save you from your sins. You alone can choose what you will do with Jesus, but choose you must. Jesus died for your sin. He rose again. He now offers you eternal life through faith in Him. What will it be? Will you choose Jesus? Will you accept His offer? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you will call on the name of Jesus Christ in faith to be your Lord and Savior, He will save your soul. But you must choose. If you do not choose Jesus, you choose the alternative, that place called the lake of fire. Which will you choose today? Most of you sitting in this auditorium, I know, profess Christ as Lord and Savior. So in closing, I just want to mention one other thing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're surrounded by neighbors and friends and co-workers. They too have to make that what? Choice. By giving them the gospel, we give them the what? The choice. We give them Jesus. We tell them how they can be saved. And they need to hear. What are we doing to help them make the right choice? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. For these that have come, pray for those that for some reason were kept away. We pray they would be able to come back next week, maybe this evening. Lord, we pray that as Christians You would use us to get the gospel to those who need Jesus, to share with them the choice that they have been given, to share with them the consequences if they should choose not to trust the Lord, and the wonderful reward that is awaiting them if they do. Lord, I pray that we will not pass up opportunities this week to tell others about Jesus, in word or in tract. Lord, that we would share with them the good news. And Lord, I pray that we would see some more people saved. I pray that we would see some that are not saved in our service, that we could share with them Jesus. And we pray, Lord, if there be one here today that's never made that choice, that if they're unsure this morning if they've chosen You, if, Lord, there's any doubt in their mind whatsoever, that we give this hymn of invitation, they'll come today, so that we'll have the opportunity to lead them to Christ, that they might make that choice and be saved this day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.